heavy on your heart, on your mind? What are you dragging through life that you need to let go of? You know, we could pick up a lot of stuff and drag through life. We just need to let go of it. So what do you need to let go of? What do you need to surrender today? What do you need to surrender? If you're not sure how to pray, let me offer you this little acrostic to help you. Maybe it's been a while since you prayed. Maybe it's been a while since you've intentionally really tried to lean into the Lord. And so begin with A. That's adoration. That's just telling God how great He is. Just take a minute and just tell God how great He is. And using your words in your way, the way God put you together, just tell God how great He is. Then the C is confession. I don't know about you, but I didn't live a perfect week. Now maybe you did, but I didn't. So I need a time of confession. I need to confess. Maybe you do. So take just a minute and confess your sins to the Lord. And then thanksgiving. Thank the Lord. Everyone in this room has something to be thankful about. You woke up today. You got yourself clothed. You came to Grace Fellowship. That's something to be thankful for. Some of you have a huge list of things to be thankful for. Man, never neglect telling God thank you. Just never neglect that. Then the final letter is S, means supplication. That means your request. What is heavy on your heart? What's on your mind? What do you need to take before your Heavenly Father? Scripture says you have not because you ask not. Scripture also says to bring your prayers and your supplications before the Lord with thanksgiving. So what's on your heart and mind? Just take that before the Lord. Well, Father, thank you for the time that you've given us here to just push the pause button and come before you in prayer. Lord, thank you for that. And now, Lord, as we turn the corner here in our service and we begin to look at your word, open our hearts and our minds. Speak to us, Lord, in a way that we need to hear. Lord, just challenge us today so we'll be better. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're our Grace kids. Kids, where are you? Let's tell them we love them. Here they go. Here they go. Goodbye. Hunter and Holly has that. Goodbye. Goodbye. Divide and conquer. All right. That is great. It's always a thrill to see our kids, and they're going to a time where the lessons are going to be designed for them. It's going to be age appropriate. They're going to hear God's word in a way that they can understand and interact with. And we're so thankful for our volunteers that help with that. If you're sitting there looking at all those wonderful kids, and I hope you are, and saying, you know what, I would really like to help with those kids, then we have an opportunity for you. We absolutely do. You can just fill out that little card that you have there on your bulleted little tear-off card and say, I want to work with kids. And there's somebody going to contact you and help connect you with the right person. And we will get you back there helping for sure. Well, Last week we started a series during this Lent season called Surrender. Just to remind you, how many people came from or come from a Catholic, Anglican, Methodist type of background? Thanks, buddy. Some of you? Okay, how many of you don't want to admit it? All right, some of you are like, yeah, I'm still working through that. Okay, Lent has been common within the church since the first century. If you go back prior to 345 B.C., you're going to see that early Christians believed that the Easter Sunday that we've dedicated Easter Sunday. Now, we celebrate the resurrection every week, right? Amen? All right, every day we celebrate the resurrection, but on Easter Sunday, corporately around the Christian world, we set that Sunday aside to say this is the Sunday that we are going to be intentional and specific about celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I've always believed that Easter should be a time of great revival. It should be the greatest renewal Sunday of our lives. I mean, that's the Sunday we should come and the Lord be more real, the Spirit be closer, and our lives be transformed more than any other time. However, and those of you who are raised in church or at least around church, you know that's not necessarily true. I mean, again, we come to Easter Sunday and, you know, how did everybody look? Oh, they wore pink, they wore purple, they had white shoes, they didn't, right? You know, you walk out, how was the service? Service was fine. How was the sermon? It was too long. You know, so, you know, you sort of move around and that's sort of how it works. But wouldn't it be wonderful that every Easter from here on out was a personal revival for you? That you came to Easter Sunday and God touched you in such a way, God challenged you in such a way that you walked out different than when you came in. Well, if we don't do something intentional, then something intentional usually doesn't happen. And so what we've done now is we've sort of borrowed from our Catholic friends, our Catholic brothers, our Orthodox brothers and sisters, the idea of Lent. Now, when I say the idea, they sacrifice and give up to gain grace. We don't do that here. We surrender things in our lives to get closer to the Lord, to experience God in a fresh and a new way because of grace. Right? Okay, so there's a difference. We act from grace, they sort of act to get grace. And so we're not saying that if you take these challenges this week that, you know, God's going to put jewels in your crown and all that kind of stuff. I don't know about all that. But here's what we do know. The areas that we're talking about on Sundays are areas that if you will surrender to the Lord, allow God to define it, allow God to work through it, here's what we know. You will be better in your Christian life. You will be better in life in general. And we know that for sure. So today we're talking about something that might be a little controversial for some, but boy, it sure will help you if you'll do it. And that is we're going to surrender our mind. We're going to surrender our minds. How many of you know that's a small offering for some? Can I get a witness? To surrender your mind, that is a really small offering. God needs something bigger than that, right? So you know, surrendering the mind sometimes can be a pretty small deal. For some, a pretty great deal. But here's what we know. That nobody ever does anything really great or does something really bad without it first starting between their ears. Everything starts between your ears. You don't accidentally fall into greatness. You don't accidentally fall into great sin. It starts between your ears. It's driven between your ears, and it dictates. If you wake up on Monday with a bad attitude, you have a choice at that point to change your attitude because of your mind. Your mind is powerful enough to change a bad morning to a great morning. Now, you might have to ignore some people in the process. Can I get an amen? All right, you might have to ignore some folks, right? You might have to cut some people a little slack in some areas. But the power of your mind can change what's average and ordinary to extraordinary. And so here's what the Lord says to us today. Surrender your mind to the things of the Spirit. And you know what? Your life will always be better. If you have your Bibles, open to Romans 12, 1. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Classic discipleship verse. Most people know it. And the Bible says this. I'm reading from the ESV. If you have a different version, the English Standard Version is the version I'm reading from. It says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Okay, so verse 1 basically says this. It says, if you want to know what worship is, it's a lifestyle, not an event. That's basically the summary of verse 1. Worship isn't a 1 hour a day, show up at the church, get a little dose, a little inoculation, a little shot, and then go live like you want. True biblical worship, spiritual worship, is an every day event. It's something that happens 24/7. As you declare the greatness of God, the glory of God, the grandeur of God, as you seek to honor the majesty of God and the laws of God, man, that is how we worship on a daily basis. And so verse 1 basically says, worship is a lifestyle, not an event. Now look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, now, do not be conformed to this world. That means don't be molded or shaped. How many of you remember playing with Play-Doh? How many of you still play with Play-Doh? All right, how many of you blame it on your kids or grandkids, right? Oh, all of us, right? Because I like playing with Play-Doh. Right? I remember when Play-Doh, before the molds, okay, that's how old I am, before you had the little molds, I remember Play-Doh before the molds. But, you know, you can get the molds now, right, and you can make stars or circles or squares. That's what that word means. It means don't let the world fit you into a mold. The world has a specific mold, a specific shape that it wants to put everybody in because it wants to control everybody. There's this really cool word in this text called schemata, scheme. It means that. It means a plan or a scheme. And there is a scheme to the world, and the world wants you to fit in that box so they can control you. How many of you know that there are systems that want to lump and clump you based upon certain criteria, not to make you better, not to free you up so you can go to a higher level and to have greater peace and greater joy, but to control you, to manage you, and to fit you in? Well, there's a scheme like that in the world. And so right here, this word, don't let the world mold you. Don't let it conform you. That word is schemata, the scheme. Don't let it fit you into the scheme. But be transformed. Okay, now that word transformed is like, the idea is like a transformer. You have a transformer on a pole, you have all this big raw power coming in, and transformer takes it and basically makes it useful for your house. Now that's all I know about electronics, okay? I probably messed that up. But I think I'm right on a transformer, right? That's what it does. It takes all that raw power and it makes it into something useful, okay? Then it goes on, so how does this happen? How do we become something useful? Well, here it is. By the renewing of your mind. Everything starts between your ears. Everything. It doesn't matter what it is or where it is, it starts there. So how are we going to control our mind? Because I don't know about you, but there are times my mind races so fast and goes in so many directions, I don't know what's going on. I feel like somebody else is up there pushing the buttons. Anybody ever have that? I mean, and it happens when you lay down, right? You could be brain dead all day. People can tell you you're brain dead all day. You know, you go to work, man, you're brain dead today. Yes, I am. But when you lay down at night, guess what? That mind's going to kick into 20th gear, and man, you can't stop it. Anybody ever have that experience? I mean, it just goes, and it could be the caffeine, I don't know, but it could be something like that, but your brain just kicks into gear. Well, Paul tells us, if you have your Bibles, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He tells us how to renew your mind. How do we get a hold of our mind? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, the Bible says this. He says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against us because of the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive. Why? To obey Christ. Being ready to punish every disobedience with your obedience when your obedience is complete. Paul says this, you want to renew your mind? Take hold of your thoughts. What does that mean? What does it mean to take captive every thought? This is the one point. Okay, this is a one-point sermon today. How many people are already saying amen? All right, one-point sermon. Here's how you do it. You actively guide and control your thinking. That's how you capture your thoughts. You actively engage in your mind, and you control your thinking. Because, see, if you don't, your mind is naturally going to drift and naturally go in to some directions. And basically, our mind travels when left unguarded and not controlled. Our mind goes into about three different areas primarily. The first area it goes into is pain. I got to tell you, I saw a bumper sticker the other day, and man, it is true. Growing old is not for wimps. Do I got any witnesses here? I mean, I am telling you, it is not. My kids tease me all the time. They say, Dad, there is no way you can sneak up on anybody. We hear you popping all the way down the hall. I told Eric in the first service, I can really join the rhythm section. All I have to do is walk, right? It gets that way. I mean, the older you, am I right? I mean, about 6 months ago, I told Renee, I woke up one morning, I told Renee,
I said, man, I can't believe what happened. She said, what's going on? I said, I hurt my shoulder sleeping. You got to know you're old when you hurt your shoulder sleeping. How do you wake up hurting? I don't know how you do that. That's got to be an age thing. You know, my doctor's saying, I don't know, maybe he's got a pill for it or something. I don't know. But it's a bad thing. And so I woke up, I hurt my shoulder sleeping. And listen, your mind is naturally going to go to the pain. It's just what it's going to do. If you're hurting, it's going to go there. If you wake up with a sore foot, if you wake up with a sore knee, if you wake up with a sore shoulder, your mind, before you catch it, is going to that pain. It just is. But it's also like that in pain in your life. Some of you sit in here today, and we had people in the first service going through some really, really heavy stuff. Just a lot of pain in their life. Relationships are breaking apart. Jobs are falling to pieces. Purpose in life seems to be fading. Trying to ask questions about meaning and difference and how do I move ahead seems to be escaping a lot of folks. And there's a lot of pain that you can carry. And here's what I know. If you wake up in the morning and you've not properly dealt with that pain and you've not allowed God to help you process through that, your mind is just immediately going to slide to that pain. And that's where it's going to go, and it's going to stay there. And here's what we know to be true. If you're a hurting person because of past hurts, habits, and hang-ups, if you're a hurting person, hurting people hurt people. So here's what's going to happen. Rather than being okay and looking at it in an objective way, you're going to move out from that point and you're going to begin to hurt people. If you've not taken care of the pain of the past, it will cause you to cause pain in the present. And your mind will naturally go there. It's a natural shift for your mind to go there. If somebody, you know, when I moved to Putnam County 14 years ago, it's interesting. I love our community. We live here by choice. We don't live here because, you know, the USS Minnow, you know, crashed on the island and we can't get off, right? Okay. So, you know, we don't live here for that. We live here by choice. We want to live here. But here's what I learned pretty quick. There are a lot of people carrying a lot of pains from elementary school. I'm not joking. When I was at a different church, we would have people come, oh, I can't come to that church. Why? So-and-so goes there. What's wrong with so-and-so? I kid you not. Back in sixth grade, I'm like, you gotta let it go. I mean, are you kidding me? I can't remember yesterday, much less sixth grade. You gotta let it go. But man, there are some people, if somebody caused you pain in sixth grade, by golly, it has anchored in your mind. And when you're not controlling your thoughts, it goes all the way back to sixth grade and that pain that somebody caused you. Pain. See, if you don't take captive your thoughts, your mind's naturally going to go to pain. And there's rarely any win when you're trapped in pain. There's just rarely any win. So pain is where you go. Second, sometimes your mind will go to the area of pleasure. Now, if your chemicals are balanced in your brain and you're thinking right, and you're not, you know, I mean, I'm being serious, if you're not clinically depressed or you have anxiety or something, if you're sort of, you know, got all that balanced out, if you're there, you had rather think about pleasurable things than painful things, right? Right? So it's easy to think about pleasurable stuff. The problem is some of that pleasurable stuff is in what the Bible calls your flesh, which is the sinful part of your life that's still being redeemed. And if you get too far into that, the pleasure you run toward is really a poison pill that will rob you of purpose and meaning and peace. Nothing wrong with thinking about pleasurable things. God gives you pleasurable things to think about. But there are some pleasurable things that will poison you. Thinking about a different person rather than your spouse. That's a poison pill. There's no winning that. That never ends well. Did you hear what I said? That never ends well. If you're fantasizing and thinking about another person other than your spouse, understand what I'm telling you. It will never end well. It just doesn't. It could be something innocent that becomes something bad. Back in the day, I was a golfer. I was not a good golfer. I was a golfer. I knew one adage about golf. If you don't hit it straight, you're going to hit it often. Can I get an amen on that, golfers? Right? And that was me. So if you don't hit it straight, you're going to hit it often. And so, man, that I did that a lot. And in mine and Renee's early marriage, B.C., before children, right? Not before Christ, but, you know, before kids. That's how parents think about life, right? It's before kids and, you know, AD after death. Not death, I'm just kidding, right? It's just this, you know. But, you know, that's what we think about. So BC, I thought a whole lot about golf. Not only did I think about it, I did it a lot. And sometimes to the detriment of my wife in our early marriage. I'm not proud of that. It was a pleasurable thing in and of itself. It wasn't necessarily bad. But it became a poison pill when it occupied my mind to the point and I didn't capture the thoughts of it and direct it in a better direction.
So we can turn our mind toward pleasures. Third, we can turn our mind toward people. If we don't take our thoughts captive, if we don't guide our thoughts, if we don't surrender our thoughts to the Lord, if we don't, this Lent season, if we don't surrender our thoughts to the Lord, one of the places it can go is to people. And let me tell you, usually that's not going to be a good thing. Because we're going to think about people naturally in the flesh, not in the spirit, but in the flesh. We're going to think about two things about people. We're going to think again how they hurt us. And so here's what happens. When you begin to think about people and how they've hurt you, here's a little known reality. The more you think about them, guess what happens? The more you become like them. You learn something in AA. One of the first sayings you learn is don't let people live rent-free inside your head. Did y'all hear what I said? Don't let people live rent-free inside your head. Because if they're living rent-free up here, there's nothing good going on. Don't let them do it. So here it is, if you wake up and you don't capture your thoughts, if you don't take hold of it, if you don't direct it toward a good way, you're going to begin to think about people. And those people that hurt you, here's what you're going to do. You're going to begin to obsess on how they treated you, how they reacted and responded as you had conversations or circumstances. You're going to think about what they did. You're going to think about the smirk on their face. You're going to think about all this kind of stuff. And then when you, listen, then when you find yourself in that situation, guess how you're going to act? Just like them, because you've rehearsed it in your mind over and over and over again. You don't think it's true? Let me give you an example. Let's use golf again. If you want to learn to play golf, there's a couple things you need to do. One of the things, you need to watch great golfers, right? Don't watch me. I am the golfer you don't want to watch. You will pick up every bad habit around. You don't want to watch me. You don't want to watch Charles Barkley either, by the way. Those of you who have seen Charles Barkley's golf swing, right? You do not want to watch Charles Barkley's golf swing. I don't think you can intentionally be that bad, but he is, right? And he went to Auburn, so there you go. Sorry, as an Alabama fan, you know, you got to throw it in there, right? So Barkley's horrible swing. Terry Wright, horrible swing. You don't want to watch me. What do you want to do? You want to watch people like Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth. You want to watch those guys. Guys who have really good, smooth, wonderful. And then if you watch them long enough and begin to mimic them long enough, you look a little bit more like them than you do Charles Barkley, which is a good day if you're a golfer, right? It's like that in our minds. The people we think about, the people we dream about, the people we imagine, the people we're letting live rent-free up here, when we don't control our thoughts, when we don't surrender our mind to the Lord, if we don't surrender our thoughts to the Lord, let me tell you what happens. We immediately go to those people who have hurt us and who are there, and we begin to become like them. Would never ask you to raise your hand on this or acknowledge anything. I would never do that. But how many of you, just answer this within yourself. How many of you had a hard time with your mom or dad? Just answer that within yourself. How many of you had a really hard time with your mom or dad? How many of you have never forgiven them from past hurts, past situations, past circumstances? How many of you have obsessed on that and thought about that and they've taken up rent in your brain and they've dropped anchor there and you think about them at every idle moment? How many of you have done that? And now, how many of you have heard these words? You're just like fill in the blank. That didn't accidentally happen. That happened because you did not surrender your mind to the Lord. Allow God to define how you think, what you think, and where you head in your mind. You did not allow the Lord to direct that. And you naturally, by default, we all do it, went in that direction. It's a rough thing. So how are we to act? What are we to think on? How are we to move ahead with purpose? Over in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8, many of you know this verse. The Apostle Paul tells us how to think. He says, okay, if we're going to take every thought captive, if we're going to guide our thoughts to the right end, if we're going to do things positive, if we want something to think on, here's what he says right here. He says, now finally, brothers, whatever is true. Think about what's true. When you hear rumors about people, when you hear rumors about situations, push the eject button and think about what is true. I don't know if any of that stuff is true. Not, frankly, I don't really care. But here's what I know is true. God loves that person just like he loves me. If everything I've heard about them is true, God still loves them because God loves me. My sin list is just as bad as their sin list. And that's true. Oh, no, it's not, Terry. You don't know my sin list. Yeah, okay, that right there is bad. Right? Think about what is true. Everyone can be redeemed. Everyone can be changed. Everyone can be better. Everyone can move ahead. Rather than listening to a bad report, think about what is true. He goes on and says, but whatever is honorable. When I think about other people, I want to think noble and honorable things about them. I want to believe that they're honest and hardworking. I want to believe that they're trustworthy and kind. I want to believe that they show grace and kindness when needed. Men, I'm going to say this because we're in church, and if I offend you, I'm sorry, you know. When we think about women, how do we think about them? Do we think about them in honorable ways, or do we think about them as objects? I love you. I'm your friend. You with me? I'm your friend. But when we think about women, how do we think? Do we think honorably about them? They're a child of the King. Man, they're somebody's daughter. Man, they've got purpose and meaning beyond anything we can understand. Man, how do we think? I pray we think well. Then he goes on and says, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Wow. So rather than allow my mind to go to pain, pleasure, and people, I'm gonna discipline my mind to move toward things that are just and pure and honorable and noble. Why do we do this? Turn back, if you will, to Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Listen to why we do this with our mind. Why do we surrender our mind? Look at this. Romans 8, 6 says, for set the mind not on the flesh, because the flesh is death. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. What is the flesh? Again, the flesh is that natural tendency that we all have. You have it. I have it. We all have it. Nobody's exempt. Everybody's in the same boat. We all have it. And the fleshly mind naturally goes to things away from the Lord. Just think about the flesh like that. If God's here and anti-God stuff is here, the flesh always takes us to the anti-God stuff. It always moves us this direction. That's just naturally where we go. I go there, you go there, we all go there. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you set your mind on the fleshly things, the things that naturally move this way, it's death. It's death. Death of the day. Death of the week. Death of a relationship. Death of a job. Death of a friendship. There's not a word that comes out of your mouth that's not first a thought in your head. And how many friendships and relationships have been destroyed because of words that come out of our mouth? A lot, I would guess. Right? It first starts in our mind. It first starts between your ears. So Paul says, capture your mind. Take hold of it. Put it in a headlock. And make it go in the direction that's best, that is honorable and just and good and noble. Make it go in the direction toward the Lord. Don't let it drag you into an area that is destructive and that is death. How you think about that person at work, how you think about that neighbor, how you rehearse in your mind and mind and mind and mind, if I encounter them, if I see them, I'm going to say this and I'm going to do this and that's how I'm going to act. How that starts in your head is eventually going to dictate what comes out of your mouth. It is going to happen. So, why not think excellent things about that person? Why not think noble things about that person? Why not think just things about that person? Why not apply the truth to that person? Everything will go better. That I promise. So he says first, he says, look, if you set your mind on the flesh, it's death. But now look at this. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. The reason why we are doing surrender your mind is because that's what we want for you. We want life and we want peace. Man, I got to tell you, the older I get, the more I appreciate life. I heard somebody say the other day, every day a gopher's not my mailman is a good day.
Isn't that true? I like life. Life is a good thing. And peace. Peace. When I was 30, peace didn't mean much. But now at 54, to wake up in the morning and to know I'm at peace with the Lord, I'm at peace with my family, I'm at peace with my friends. You're my friends. I'm at peace with my friends. Man, isn't that an amazing thing? That isn't an accidental arrival point. You don't arrive at life and peace accidentally. You don't just wake up one day and say, oh, hey, everything I touch has life and I'm at fully at peace. That is not an accidental point of arrival. You get there by disciplining your mind to think about things that are noble and just and good and are of good report. Yeah, but Terry, you don't understand. I am telling you, this person hurt me so bad. They deeply bruised me. Man, they walked out on me and they promised they never would. This is a horrible thing. And you know what? Everything you're saying is right. Everything you're saying is right. Everything you're feeling is right. But it's not always true, because there's a higher level of reality, and that's God's level of reality. What's true is that person can be forgiven. What's true is that person can change. What's true is God's not done with them. What's true is God can heal you through, even through the deepest hurt you've ever experienced. God can heal you. That's what's true. Why do we surrender our minds? Why do we say we want the Lord to take captive our thoughts? We want to take captive our thoughts. We do it for this reason. In less than 4 weeks now, we're going to be at Easter Sunday. And we're all going to come together. And we're going to have pink or purple or white, right? You know the deal, right? I'm going to preach a short sermon. Can I get an amen for that, right? All right. Some of you are going, yeah, no, it's not going to happen. It's a goal. It's a goal. Everybody's got to have a goal, right? So it's a goal to preach a short sermon. All right. And you have a choice today, right now, on what that Sunday looks like for you and what that Sunday looks like for the people around you. If you will start today by surrendering your mind to the Lord, say, Lord, help me take captive all my thoughts. Help me direct them toward you. Help them be good thoughts and honest thoughts and pure thoughts and noble thoughts. When it's about people or myself or my pleasure or my pain or whatever's going on, Lord, help me to have the right mindset on all of this stuff. Help me. You'll come into Easter Sunday and it'll be one of the greatest celebrations you've ever had in your spiritual life. Or you could come in seeing who bought a new dress. I personally would like to have a personal revival on Easter Sunday. Amen? I would like to have the Spirit of God awaken in me like it never has before. I would like to see all of you touched by the Lord in ways that are transformational. I don't know what you need. I don't know where that will lead you. That's between you and the Lord. It's not between me and you. I would just love to know that the Holy Spirit touches you in those profound ways and moves on you in those profound ways. But that's not accidental. When we surrender, God moves in. You have to give up to go up. That's just a principle in life. You have to give up to go up. Surrender your mind to the things of God and see what He'll do with you over the next week, over the next month, and how it will change your life. Life and peace. Wow. Those are two things I hope you can get behind. I hope that you long for. Because if you do, Scripture says you'll find it. God bless you. Pray with me. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I just wonder if there's someone here who would say, you know what, Terry, I don't have that peace in my heart between the Lord and I. I need to make that right today. If that's you, then just pray this where you sit. Just pray, hey, Lord, it's me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for letting me pray. Father, please forgive me of my sins. I'm so sorry. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Please change my heart and change my life. Jesus, I declare you Lord over my life. I believe you died and resurrected from the grave to take
take care of my sin problem. Thank you. As I surrender myself to you, use me in the coming days. If you prayed that or something like that for the first time, I want you to come see me afterwards. I want to talk to you. The Bible says after you repent and turn from your sins, you need to be baptized. We want to help you with that. We have baptism next week. We want to help you with that. We want to help you take those steps. So please come and talk to me. I'll be up here afterwards. Second, how many of you would take the challenge today to surrender your mind, as we talked about today, to the Lord? At least try it. At least try it between now and Easter. If you're willing to do that, just say, hey, Lord, I want to surrender my mind. So help me every day commit myself to you. Give me some process to surrender myself to you. Please help me with that. And then finally, relationship with the Lord. You are walking with the Lord. You're moving with the Lord. I mean, you've got a great relationship with the Lord. Here's what I'm going to ask you to commit to. Bringing someone with you every week between now and Easter. Bring someone with you. All of our eggs are in your basket. Our church only grows if you grow and reach people. So we're asking you to reach out to those around you. Bring someone with you. Oh, Terry, they won't come. 90% of the people that come back to church do so because of a personal invitation. You matter. You matter. You matter to God. You matter to people. You matter. So please reach out to those around you. Bring someone with you. Well, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to get in your word. Father, the mind is a hard thing to tame. But Lord, we know that if we can, it will help us tame our tongue, shape our attitudes, and begin to build a positive impact in the lives of those around us. So Lord, help us do that, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Ushers, come forward, please, at this time. Ushers, where are you? As the ushers are coming, just a couple things for you real quick. If you're a guest with us, the only thing we ask of you is this card right here. If you could fill this out and drop it in the offering plate, we would love to have a record of your visit. If you can't get it filled out by the time the plate's passed, that's cool. We have boxes at the doors. So when you leave, just put this in the box and we'll get it. Regular attenders, guests, and partners, this is how we pray for you. Please don't forget this. Please do not forget this. I was praying through the list this morning. We actually really do pray for you. So if you will write this down, put it in the offering plate or put it in one of the boxes, that's great. It'll get to us. Debbie will type it up and we will pray for you. If you don't want to put your name on that, that's okay. We pray for anonymous prayer requests every single week. We'll be glad to do that. Just let us know how we can pray for you. We love you and we want to pray for you. Folks, we give for two reasons here at Grace. We give because Jesus is Lord and because the gospel is the most important message in the world. And we always do so with a cheerful heart and a thankful heart. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, as we give now, I pray we do so with a cheerful heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Ryan, come on up.
Just a couple of quick things for you. Wednesday nights are going really well. The adult Bible study, you guys were like packed out this past week. Like you got a couple more of those and you can't fit in the chapel anymore. You'll have to move it into here, which would be awesome. Because then you wouldn't hear the drums upstairs. So Wednesday nights are going really well. Food is going great. Thank you guys so much for coming and being here. We want to invite you to bring your family. Dinner starts at 5:30. The cost is $5 a person, $3 for kids. But we have a full program from teenagers to children to nursery, adults. Everything is here on Wednesday night. We'd love to have you. Yesterday we had a great shape class. Those of you who were like, dang, I missed it. We got to play with Play-Doh yesterday, so we were kids again, and it was lots of fun. But we'll do another one of those in April or May. We'll do another shape class, but we'd love for you to come and be a part of that with us and just kind of understand how God's wired you. Tonight is life groups. Don't forget about life groups tonight. I'm sure just bring food to whichever life group you go to.
My life group, everybody knows. Please come. Please be there. Bring food.
Bring food. If you're looking for where the food is, go to Pastor Terry's house, and we'll all meet there, okay? Life groups are an amazing opportunity to plug in with others. If you're like, I don't know what a life group is, see my wife over here. She'll be happy to tell you about life groups. We've got them all across the county. We'd love to hook you up with the people that live in your area so that you kind of get involved there. You don't have to drive all the way across town to get there, but we'd love for you to plug in and be a part of our life groups with us. But that's it, Pastor Trey. It's all you.
Great. One more note on Wednesday nights. It is Adult Bible Study. It's a wonderful opportunity. It's a small group. We are growing, which is great, but the format's not going to change. It's interactive. So we ask questions and we talk and we engage. If you enjoy that kind of environment, we encourage you to come. We don't always get that on Sunday morning. A couple things, too. People have been asking about Facebook Live and other things that we're ramping up. Our camera should be in this week. It was on back order twice. So our camera will be in hopefully this week. Then we'll have some training. We're going to give us a few weeks to work the bugs out and do what we need to do. But hopefully, Lord willing, then within 2 or 3 or 4 weeks after we get the camera, if you're sick, if you're traveling, you'll be able to log in and still be a part of Grace Fellowship through our internet campus. And that'll be online for sure. Some other exciting things going on we'll tell you about in the coming days with Grace for Your Journey. Many of you have been so complimentary and so kind. I have a little radio spot on Hope FM 91.3, and it's just got really good reviews, and we're going to be giving that away nationally, and so we don't know if stations will take it or not, but Robin is helping out me a lot on that, and we got some other folks that are helping out of state, so be praying for that. We don't know what kind of tribe God will build, but if we can be a blessing to people with some simple truths from God's words, we're going to do it. Amen? And so that's going to be sent out, and that'll be going, Lord willing, all over the country. So just be praying that it's met with favor and opportunity. And so this is a journey. It's not a sprint. So we're going to be on this road for many years ahead. And so we're really thankful for that as well. Well, stay with me, if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer next week. Don't forget, we have baptism. If you need to be baptized, please let us know. We want to help you. And we stand ready to baptize every single week. Right, church? We will help you every single week. So never, ever, ever hesitate to let us know about taking that next step of obedience with the Lord and being baptized. Also, don't forget, First Sunday is First Sunday Communion. Great, great Sunday, always to invite people who have been away from the Lord, been away from church, coming back and connecting through communion is a wonderful process, and God blesses that often. So please be inviting people to come and be with you. We also have baby dedication, so that's going to be a great time too. So it's going to be a fun week next week. Hope you'll bring somebody with you. Pray with me if you will. Well, Father, we're going to leave now, and we're going out to our homes and to our jobs and to the world that you've put us in. And Lord, this week, we're going to fumble the ball because we're human. I pray you forgive us when we do. But Lord, we're going to work real hard to do some things right. And only by your grace, empowered by your Spirit, can we do that. And so we depend on you, Holy Spirit, to help us. And Lord, next Sunday, if you allow us to be here, we will celebrate again the great opportunity to surrender our lives in full to you, because you deserve it. And we desire life and peace. And Lord, I pray this over your people now, in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. God bless you. See you next week.